The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus set out and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know that he was there. Yet he could not escape notice, but a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him, and she came and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile of Syrophoenician origin. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. He said to her, "Let the child be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." So she went home and found the child lying on the bed and the demon gone. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went by way of Sidon toward the Sea of Galilee, in the region of Decapolis. They brought him a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay hands on him. He took him aside in private, away from the crowd, and put his fingers into his ears and spat and touched his tongue. Then he looked up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And immediately his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered them to tell no one, but the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astounded beyond measure, saying, "He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
Ephphatha, be opened. There are so very many ways to be deaf. It's easy to become deaf when we're too busy or too tired or too burdened, or when we are afraid, or when the hurt and the heartache and the seeming endless need in the world overwhelms us. Sometimes we shut things out on purpose because we think we simply cannot take on one more request, one more task, one more cause, no matter how important. That's what Jesus was feeling like when he went into that house we heard about today, hoping no one would see him. Tyre, the town he'd gone to, was in Gentile territory, and I don't think he'd gone there to preach and to teach. I don't think he went to heal or make miracles. I think he went there to get away from all those lost sheep of Israel who were constantly clamoring for him. He knew what it was to be exhausted, just as he knew what it was to offer himself to anyone who needed him, like the deaf man who was unable to speak in a way anyone could understand. Friends had brought that man to Jesus so he could be healed. And, as was his nature, no matter how exhausted he was, Jesus heaved a great big sigh, which might actually have been a groan, and healed the man. That is the Jesus I know. So who is that Jesus in the first story? That is not the Jesus I know. The Jesus I know is the one in the story just before that, the one who told a huge crowd that it is what comes out of a person that defiles, for it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come. I'm pretty sure calling a mother who is trying to save her little girl a dog. That's actually the civilized translation. I'm sure that is defiling. Not to her, but to him. It's tempting to make sense of his response to her, to justify it so that Jesus continues to fit our limited idea of him. After all, calling Gentiles dogs was a common ethnic slur in Jesus' time. Dogs were not household pets. They were unclean scavengers. And Gentiles were unclean to the Jews, too. Nevertheless, Jesus called the woman unclean and made an ethnic slur. Sure, he was exhausted, out of his element, far away from Jewish territory, in a place he was just trying to get some peace. Nevertheless, he behaved terribly. Yes, it's true that anywhere in first century Palestine, women didn't speak to men they didn't know. Nevertheless, his response was unspeakable. And it's also probably true that at this early time in his ministry, Jesus thought his ministry was only to the Jews. Nevertheless, he hadn't a modicum of kindness or compassion for her. We can't find our way around the reality that Jesus was dreadfully cruel to this heartsick mother. Nevertheless, she persisted. That loving, protective mother bear of a mama didn't confront Jesus for herself. She did it for her daughter. That's what love is, and that's what love does. It's actually what Jesus taught us with his life and his death. But today, this mother, this strange, foreign, different-looking, different-sounding, different-believing mother, is teaching Jesus and teaching us about what love is and what love does. I can't explain why Jesus said that terrible thing to her. To say, oh, he was just being fully human, is to minimize what happened and to take away that woman's agency and her very important role in Jesus' ministry. Remember, he was fully divine too. And because of that, we expect him to be perfect in every thought, word, and deed, to be fully formed from the beginning. But today, that doesn't seem true. No matter how much biblical scholarship or ancient social science I immerse myself in, and believe me, I went looking really, really hard this week. The truth is, I simply cannot see through the lens of anyone living anywhere in first century Palestine. The only thing that makes any sense at all for me is the possibility that as Jesus' ministry was developing, he was developing too. Maybe that's why he always said the kingdom of heaven had come among us, even when things didn't look like the kingdom of heaven at all. Maybe it's because we need to see that our relationship with God isn't a one-way street. Yes, encountering God surely has an impact on our lives, but perhaps God encountering us has an impact on God, too. No matter how uncomfortable Jesus' bad behavior makes us, we need to look at it and learn from it. This is the only place I know of in Scripture where somebody other than Jesus actually wins the argument. And she wins because she uses Jesus' way of love on him. She wins because she's willing to give her life away for another. She wins because she knows when people are treated like dogs, the kingdom of heaven is not at hand. She wins because she had the audacity to say all that to Jesus. And because she did, he was changed. It's also important to sink into our discomfort with a God who is actually impacted by what we do or don't do. Yes, it makes for a lot more responsibility for our behavior than we might like. But then that's what happens when we take God seriously. Prayers, good intentions, even profound faith alone won't change the world. We do. Jesus likely never would have seen that woman if she hadn't so desperately sought him out. That's often how it is with strangers or people on the margins or people who just don't seem a lot like us. We pretend not to see them, or even worse, we actually don't see them. And one of the most heartbreaking things about that is that when we don't look, don't listen, don't pay attention, when we're not curious about the people who aren't like us, we lose the most amazing opportunities to learn the things we could never learn from people who are like us. This strange woman, this mother who loved her little girl so much that she literally risked her life for her, has lessons for us that we ought not to miss. Going to the ends of the earth for the sake of love is what Jesus taught. And I think this woman, this stranger, had something to do with helping him learn that. I think it just might be that Jesus was evolving as a person, and his ministry was evolving too. And maybe, perhaps, he didn't even understand the really radical nature of God's mission that ultimately he lived into. This woman, who was so very different from him and from the people he thought he had come to serve, actually got him to see the boundless potential of his ministry. Even after she was insulted, she acknowledged his power and showed him he had everything he needed to save everyone, not just the Jews. This story comes not long after the feeding of the 5,000 and shortly before the feeding of the 4,000. And in both of those stories, Jesus took a few fish and a few loaves of bread and multiplied them so they could feed thousands of people with basketfuls left over. This Gentile stranger showed him what that really meant. She knew what Jesus could do even when he didn't seem to know himself. Those baskets full left over meant there was enough for everyone. Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. She knew there were baskets full left over, and she acknowledged Jesus' power to make that happen. And then Jesus acknowledged her power, not just to persuade him to heal her daughter, but literally to change his direction and his understanding of his own mission. When Jesus left that place, he didn't go back to Capernaum. He didn't go back to Galilee, didn't go back to the places those lost sheep of Israel he thought he had come for were. We're told he returned to the Decapolis from Tyre by way of Sidon. You don't have to be able to see all the names of all the places on this map, but let me just show you. Here's Galilee. Here's the Decapolis. And when Jesus left that woman, he made his way to the Decapolis from Tyre by way of Sidon. Tyre's here, Sidon's here, Decapolis is here. That's not the fastest way to get there. It's not efficient. And it doesn't make sense, because what Jesus was doing was going deeper and deeper and deeper into Gentile territory. Sidon isn't even on most maps of the Holy Land because it's so far out of the way. Jesus is on his way to the Decapolis. The Decapolis is southeast of Galilee. He is purposely going deeper and deeper into Gentile territory. And that's what I mean when I say that woman helped him to understand the breadth of his mission. Ephatha, be opened. It's not lost on me that it's only after his encounter with that brave Syrophoenician mother that Jesus says those words. And I think he could say those words because that woman helped him to learn what it was to be opened, to be vulnerable, to allow himself to be changed, even transformed. Ephatha, be open, Jesus said, because being open, being vulnerable, being present to what is really happening in the world around us and the world inside us is the only way we can speak the living word of the living God into a world that is desperate for God's justice and love and mercy. Ephatha, be opened. You see, it's only when we are open that we're able to receive the stunning gift of God's amazing grace. Grace that so often comes to us in totally unexpected ways. Be open, be curious, be willing to change. The woman's behavior was utterly unexpected, but it was the grace Jesus needed so he could return to love and be changed. It's what we're all called to do. Ephatha, be opened. We're called to be open to learning and loving in ways we might never have imagined if we hadn't allowed ourselves to be confronted by things we never possibly would have imagined on our own. Be open to looking outward rather than inward, to inviting rather than excluding, to curiosity rather than certainty, to God's mission rather than our own. Ephatha, be opened. Amen.